and he said it's okay, so it's fine. Okay. Well, let's turn to Colossians. Oh, turn to Colossians if you want, but before that, we're going to pray. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your opportunity to study your word this morning. And Lord, for the worship that we have in song and in the word. And Lord, in giving our tithes and offerings. Father, we pray that you would accept these things as acceptable worship of you. Lord, that we would indeed sing, not just our mouths, but with our hearts. And Lord, that we would listen, not just with our ears, but with our minds. And Lord, that we would give, not because we feel an obligation, but because we are filled with joy and thanksgiving. Father, this is worship. These prayers, these songs, the study of your word, the giving of our time, the giving of our tithes. We give them each one to you because you are worthy. Now, Lord, open up your word to us so that we might have understanding, so that we could grow closer to you, and that our lives would be testimonies of your good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, continue established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Amen. He is. I counted out in verses 15 through 23. I'm sorry, in verses 15 through 20. 14 different things that Jesus is. In the short little bit. 14 ways that Jesus was supreme. Not just that things about him, but things about him that held him above and beyond all else. He is the image of the invisible God. You know, you've all or maybe not all of you, have heard the story about the little boy in Sunday school class, and he's drawing a picture, and the Sunday school teacher says, "Well, what are you drawing, Johnny?" "I'm drawing a picture of God." "Well, Johnny, nobody's seen God. We don't know what he looks like." "Well," say, "of course not. I haven't finished drawing my picture yet." Well, Jesus is that picture of God. The invisible made visible. His life shows us God. He is the firstborn over all creation. Not just the firstborn of creation. The firstborn over all creation. His precedent. He is always first. And He is over all. There's none that is above Him. He's the creator of all things, visible and invisible. Remember, the issue that's going on here in Colossus, which Paul is trying to deal with this letter he's writing, is there are false teachers who are bringing in false teachings. Surprise, surprise. False teachers bringing false teachings. Heresies, if you would. It is heresy because it is taking Christ and putting Him in a lower position than above all. And Paul, he's writing here, and it's a continuation of his prayer. This opening letter is a continuation of what's going on. And he's talking, he's addressing what these guys are teaching. And they were teaching that Christ was less. And they were holding that the spirits, the powers and authorities of the world were greater. Now, even before Paul gets into the specifics of what he's writing his letter about, in this prayer, which we started last week, and we continue on, he's stating with clarity that Jesus is the one who created all of this. The visible and the invisible. And the Creator is always above the created. This is a prayer. Now, these 14 points that point out what Jesus is supreme. So I'm backing up just a touch. Last week, as he's opening his prayer, he's praying blessings and things that he wanted to bring before them. Now in his prayer, he's presenting God. You see, God, this is who you are. And when we pray, that is a legitimate, appropriate prayer. God, you are loving. You are supreme. You are the Creator. You are the Redeemer. This is a prayer that we can emulate. Let's go back to this. Things where show just this prayer of Paul's that listing out how Jesus is supreme. He is what we, or all things, were created for and by. He was created, we were created by Him, and we were created for Him. That was in the songs we're singing. Worshiping Him. He created us for Himself to worship Him. That song Butch just got done singing. That's why we're here. He created us for His pleasure. and for the work that He has prepared for us to do. But again, that places Him above all. And He is before all things, both in order of priority, precedent, and temporally. That is, by the clock. Before all time, He is. Before anybody else. He's already been there in line. You get there, you find Jesus. Doesn't matter. Paul tells us that He is, Jesus, is that He holds all things together. All things are held together by Him. He is that which holds all together. If He doesn't hold this world together, it's going to fall apart. He is that which holds it together. Love. God's mercy. God's grace. The providence of God. God's blessings. He brings rain and sunshine in its season so that we can have food to eat. From the wonder of all that's around us, He's the one that's holding it together. He is the head of the body. That is the specific body of the church. He's not like the undersecretary to the guy who's in charge. He's not even the vice president. In case the president is unable to fulfill his duties, he shall succeed to his new position as supreme. No. Christ is the head of the body. He is the one who is in charge of the church. Remember, the church is us. All who accept Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the definition of the church. We're not talking about Northbrook Alliance Church. We're not talking about the Christian Missionary Alliance. We're not talking about evangelical Christianity. We're talking about every person who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the box. So this is the church. Don't care what label they wear, if they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they accept the work He did on the cross, died on for their sins, and receives that forgiveness for themselves, they turn from that sin and turn towards God. God has promised that He will seal them with the Holy Spirit and come and live with them, and that they shall be His children and He shall be their Father. And they shall receive an inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. He is the head of the body. He is the beginning. He's the beginning and the end, John tells us in Revelation. But here, we have saying, He is the beginning. Now, this last week we've been watching some of these Dr. Dino videos. And this guy is kind of off in left field on some things, but when he talks about the science, he's got it right. He's got it nailed. And when he talks about creation, he's got it right. He's got it nailed. Because he's saying it required, creation required a creator. It required the creator. It just didn't happen. We know who that Creator is. It is God of the Bible. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the beginning. He's the point from which all things come. He is the firstborn of the resurrected. What a promise for us. To show us that resurrection is real. He was the first one to be resurrected. But again, so that always he is that place of primacy. He's first. But he's the firstborn resurrection. He is the supreme over everything. There is nothing which is over him. Therefore, he is God. The Son of God is God. It is indeed the three in one. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The exact representation, I said earlier. What's an exact representation? It's the same thing. He is supreme over everything. He is the dwelling of the fullness of God. He isn't the dwelling of 30% of God, 33 and a third. He's not one third God. He's not a third portion of God. He is the fullness of God. And he is the reconciler to himself of all things in earth and heaven. He's the reconciler. He's the one who did the work of reconciliation. What's reconciliation? That's taking things that were held apart and bringing them together. That's removing that impediment which is going to keep those things apart from being together. That's what Jesus is. He's the reconciler. He's the one that brings us together. Because we've been apart. Why? Because we're each sinners. But he's reconciled us because he is the peacemaker. And he is the blood sacrifice. The one who died on the cross. For our sins, not his. He is indeed the sinless sacrifice. 14. 14 items there. In those few verses, Paul lists out, this is Jesus. He is saying, this is Jesus. Then he switched channels, switched gears, and he says, and we're lost in sin. Here's Jesus, this is all Jesus, and he is salvation, he is God, he is the hope, he is the creator, he is the peacemaker, the reconciler, and we are all sinners. Each and every one of us. He said, in our reconciliation to God, comes through the physical body of Christ. Now again, one of the teachings that they were having was that Jesus didn't really maybe die on the cross. It wasn't physical body. It was maybe a spiritual. And he was taken away before this really happened. An avatar. But no. Jesus lived a physical, literal, earthly life. And that literal, physical life came to a literal, physical end on the cross. And real blood, sinless blood, was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Paul is refuting in his prayer every teaching of these false teachers. How is he doing it? By reiterating the original teaching. This is what you were taught. This is what you were taught. And because you were taught this, if you believe this and if you follow this gospel message, this good news. If you do this, you will. continue on heaven. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you've heard that was promised to every creature under heaven. He's telling them, this is what you need to believe. This is what you were taught. This is what you came to know Christ as. But if you take Christ and you define Him as somebody other than God, He's no longer the reconciler. He is no longer the peacemaker. He is no longer the first. He must stay here as God. We must say that Jesus is the Christ. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is these things. If we don't, we make Him less. And if we say it was somebody less than God who did the whom we have salvation, and we really don't have salvation. Because we're not trusting in that hope that we originally had. Because that hope which He presented here is the real one. So this is the good news to every creature under heaven. To every creature under heaven. Which Paul now serves. He opened up with Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Placing this authority, I come from this position of authority. And he said, and this is who I serve. And this is the prayer. This is the middle portion of his prayer. He's still got another section of prayer to go, which we're going to look at next week, before he actually gets into the discussion of the heresy. But even in his prayer, he's laying the foundation for his arguments against these false teachers. Because even in our prayer, especially in our prayer, we need to be proclaiming God who He is. God, I'm not sure you might be... You know, we can have those prayers. People have had those prayers. God, I question. I don't know. But we also need to pray what we do know. We need to pray when our faith is strong and proclaim God, to God, who He is. We need to proclaim to those around us who He is in our prayers and in the prayer that is our life. So, who is Jesus? He is the Supreme. The image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation, creator of all things, invisible and visible. He is what we were all created by and for. He is before all things. He is all thing. He is that which holds all things together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn of the resurrected. He is supreme over all everything. He is the dwelling of the fullness of God. He is the reconciler to Himself of all things in earth and in heaven. He is the peacemaker and He is the blood sacrifice. He is. And I wish we had that song ready to go. He is. I don't... Yeah. But we'll sing whatever it is you got next. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. And we ask that You would help us to live proclaiming He is. Now, Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.